drums, guitar, let it be rock.
This is the worst.
She's got big balls.
Balls.
And there's such big balls.
She's got balls, my lady.
Fancy big balls.
Balls.
She's
got balls. 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 She's got balls.
Hey, you're listening to Rock and or Roll, and it's time for another episode of Worst Of. So, of course, joining me for this episode is my co-host for this Worst Of series from the Double Stop, Brian Sword. Hey, Brian.
Hey, BJ. Happy to be back.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. Because this is going to be a controversial one. There's kind of, I think we're definitely going to get some backlash.
Oh, yeah.
Because today we picked the five worst songs by AC/DC, the Bon Scott era. So, just focusing on those records from the 70s with original vocalist Bon Scott before he died in a really stupid way.
Yeah, yeah.
His friend couldn't lift him out of the car, and I think he had to go upstairs to his apartment, too. And so he's like, I'll just leave him in the car. And that was a bad decision. But, you know, he was probably not as drunk as Bon, but probably close. So,
yeah, probably so.
But yeah, it's very unfortunate that we lost Bon because, you know, I can only imagine, what AC/DC would have been in the 80s with Bon Scott. But he would have been quite a character. When you think about these guys we lost and what, you know, what more we would have gotten out of them as far as the culture and everything. And, but I like a lot of AC/DC in the 80s with Brian Johnson, but it's definitely a different. Definitely a different animal. Bon Scott was such a personality and such a force that, you know, Brian Johnson is just kind of this, kind of in the background. He's barely got a personality, you know.
Yeah, I wonder, just would Back in Black have had the same success, you think, with Bon?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. Yeah, who knows? I think, you know, there's the whole theory that a lot of the lyrics were actually written by Bon. And I kind of believe it, because if you look at the lyrics, if you compare the lyrics to the songs on Back in Black to the later songs, I think it's very convincing that they used a lot of stuff that Bon had written. So, you know, like if You Shook Me All Night Long, it might have been the same song or pretty similar. And that was kind of the breakout hit, right? I don't know. You wouldn't have the song Back in Black in the same incarnation, but who knows what Bon would have done with that melodically. I honestly am not really a fan of that song, which I know is sacrilege. That's like one of the most iconic AC/DC songs. I've never liked it. the song Back in Black, personally, I've never liked. In fact, if we were making our 80s list, maybe I would put it on there just to piss people off. But
that comment alone makes me excited to hear what your list is. My goodness. You don't like Back in Black. Okay.
No,
this is where we're starting from.
I like the record. I like about half the record. You know, I think it's a completely overrated album because of where it is in the iconography of rock and roll or whatever.
Yeah.
Because there's some bad songs in that record. And yeah, the song Back in Black to me is a bore. Never really liked it much. But
one thing with lyrics that I don't really understand with the new, that like with the Brian era, is that, as I understand, he had songwriting credit for lyrics all the way to like Blow Up Your Video. And then after that, never had a songwriting credit again. It was just the Young Brothers. So I don't really understand how that really worked. Did he suddenly stop writing lyrics, or did they just put him under salary and paid him a bunch of money and they just kept all the credit? Like, I don't really get that.
I think I remember reading or hearing an interview where Brian basically just didn't want to do it anymore. Cause yeah, the brothers started writing the lyrics on the Razor's Edge, and you know, who could tell the difference really? But,
oh, exactly.
But yeah, it's like, what, well, Brian, I mean, obviously he lost out on a lot of money because the Razor's Edge was such a huge album, and he lost out on all of the songwriting royalties and the publishing money that he would have gotten. Yeah. Just all he had to do was scribble out some bullshit. I mean, it's not like anybody was looking for much
Double entendres.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you look at that album, the next album, Ballbuster, the lyrics are fucking ridiculous. You know, yeah. Could have put a monkey at a typewriter and written, you know, lyrics for that record. So, you know, you might as well have just scribbled something out and, you know, collected the millions of dollars or whatever.
But let's be honest, though, the amount of royalties he's making from Back in Black to this day,
right?
He's not hurting for money. Like, he's got more money than he'll ever have to be able to spend, you know. So I don't think, if he didn't want to do it, he knew what he was giving up, and he just didn't give a shit because he's rich beyond belief anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I always think about these fucking rich people. It's like, at some point, how much money do you need? Like, at some point, isn't it just enough, you know? And so, yeah, you're right. I mean, Brian Johnson had enough. So what does he need more for?
Yeah.
When you have more than you're ever going to spend in your entire life, only a sociopath at that point wants more. So that's the political part of the show.
Deep talk. Deep talk with Rock and or Roll. Actually, I heard on the radio today that their radio station ad was now playing Rock and or Roll. I'm like, hey, they ripped that off from somebody who ripped it off from The Simpsons.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I get like a Google alert for the phrase Rock and or Roll, and I don't know if it's ever once been for my show. It's just always for someone else using it. Someone uses the phrase in a record review or whatever, and then I get an email. Yeah, so, you know, everybody knows the history of AC/DC. I mean, usually on these episodes, we go into a little history. I mean, they formed in 1973 and formed by the brothers Malcolm and Angus Young, who, you know, their older brother George Young was in the Easy Beats, which were like the Beatles of Australia. So they, you know, they had a foot in the door already, you know, and George Young and Harry Vanda, who was also in the Easy Beats, you know, they produced all the early albums. And so, you know, they were, the AC/DC were kind of shepherded by these guys who were already, you know, as far in terms of Australia, they were hugely successful and famous. And now they're helping his baby brother's band along. So, but, you know, if you look at the Easy Beats, they're a very 60s sounding band. And then AC/DC just created something completely unique, which it's so simple what they did that it's interesting to call it unique, but it really was. I mean, it was different. And it was, you know, there's not a lot of bands where you can hear like 1 second and you know what band it is. So they definitely created something incredibly unique. And what I've always found interesting about AC/DC is how ubiquitous they were, especially when I was a kid, when I was a teenager into rock and roll. It's like everyone liked AC/DC, you know, everyone. They were just like a universally. Yeah. But at the same time, with the satanic panic and everything, they had this element of danger. They were, you know, when I was a teenager, AC/DC were like this dangerous, evil band, which is hilarious to think about. But that's how it was in the 80s. You know, we did The Worst of Ozzy recently, too. And AC/DC kind of fit right in that same group with Ozzy Osbourne of these bands that were vilified for being Satanists when it was kind of ludicrous. But, you know, that's what was going on in the 80s. So, you know, because they had the song Hell's Bells and Back in Black has a black album cover. And so they worship Satan, you know. So
clearly.
But if you look at Bon Scott, he was such, I mean, he was just like a very charismatic, funny, happy guy, you know. So the whole vibe that AC/DC had in the 80s, I don't think it would have been the same if Bon Scott had been around, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
Brian was more of just like this mysterious guy who never said anything, you know.
What I liked about Bon was there's a lot of interesting choices as a singer.
Yeah.
Like is it? I think it's Dirty Deeds. You know, at the end of the song, he lets out this like howl, and it's just like, wow, like it works. But what even made him think to do that? And that's what I like about him, is you get these little choices that he made were so unique and off the wall. And that's probably my favorite thing about him as a singer.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about how, because, you know, we've heard music that Bon Scott made with bands he was in before AC/DC, and he did more of like a traditional singing style. He had a more traditional voice, but he developed this singing style for AC/DC that was really unique and weird and interesting. And I think
exactly.
And Brian Johnson's the same way. You know, there's songs he sings with Geordie that you can't even tell. They do a version of House of the Rising Sun where he sings in this deep, like, baritone voice, you know? And so Brian Johnson could really sing like a traditional singing style.
Blue jeans and my father.
but he does this thing with AC/DC,
right?
Which is because of the range, I guess, he has and everything, that he's able to do what he does in AC/DC. But it, you know, it's kind of a ridiculous way to sing, but it works for this kind of music. And Bon Scott did a kind of similar thing. He does this gruff singing style that he develops for AC/DC that really works and is really interesting. But you can also see why people who aren't into this kind of music hear it and they're like, that guy can't even sing, you know, but he actually can sing. He's just choosing, to do this for this kind of music. And it's really interesting.
And that's one of the big things for both those singers is you hear a note from those singers and you know exactly who it is. Like, whether or not they're the best singers in the world doesn't really even matter. They're so identifiable and distinct. And frankly, that's half the battle with, you know, with vocals. It's something that distinctive and original.
Yeah. You know, the people who are fans of this music, they don't want everyone to like it. So, you know, you appreciate these elements that just kind of make it where it's just not going to work 100% in the mainstream because it's a little bit off, well, you know?
Yeah, but that's it. You know, they are, you know, to this day, one of the biggest bands on the planet.
Yeah,
you know, when they go on tour, it's going to be one of the biggest tours of the year, you know, like, which is funny because they shouldn't be almost, because they do things that are not quite, you know, what you'd expect to be commercial, but they're still massively popular. And it doesn't matter that people argue that they put up the same album year after year. You know, it's like, it works.
Yeah, obviously. They're much more well-known. The Brian Johnson era is much more well-known just across the, like, in terms of crossing over with people who aren't necessarily deeply into this kind of music. But, well, you know, they did make with Bon Scott, that last record they made was definitely very much more commercial. I mean, you know, produced by Mutt Lange, and they were definitely going for mainstream crossover success. It was kind of, you could tell it was kind of a conscious effort to make a more commercial record. So, and yet,
absolutely.
But it's
absolutely
amazing.
They were definitely heading there anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Which, you know, we'll get to more of that on my list. Yeah, so I'm a fan of the vast majority of the Bon Scott era songs, and even my number one is not a song that I like hate or anything. So there weren't a lot of obvious choices. There were definitely some that came to mind right away, but this is a list where I don't really hate any of these songs on my list. They're just what I would pick as like my five least favorites.
Well, I hate most of the songs on my list. Absolutely hate them. So this is going to be fun. I find in these episodes we've done, I've either gone with, okay, I'm going to play it straight, and these are what I honestly feel are the worst songs. And then sometimes I'm like, ah, screw it. I'm just going to do the songs I hate the most. And I don't care that there's technically some songs that are, you know, more poorly written. These songs bug me, so I'm picking them. And this list, I finally think I got the sweet spot where it's like half the list is like, the songs, you know, they're terrible songs. They may be kind of harmless, you know, and I don't have a reaction to them, but I'm like, no, I just don't think that's a well-written song. Then half my list is ones that are like, yeah, I know they've written worse songs, but these songs bug me and I hate them. So I got a good balance, so I can be a bit more legit on one half and hopefully piss off a few people on the other half, you know?
Yeah, the goal is always to piss people off, right?
At least a little bit. It was on the Beatles episode. On the Beatles episode where I just, like, chose only songs that were hits. I chose five number one hits, you know. That was blatantly intended to piss people off. Pretty much lose all credibility from the get-go.
Yeah. Well, that's what's kind of hard about these lists sometimes, is you don't want it to be boring. You want to throw something in there. You want to throw a grenade into the crowd, you know. So
right?
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, this is all your fault, but I'm always, you know, which song could I put in here to piss people off? All right. So do you want to get into our list? Should we? Do you have anything more to say about AC/DC?
Oh, I do.
All right. So what's your...
I don't think so.
So what's your number five worst of AC/DC, the Bon Scott era?
Okay, I'm going to start with a bang on this one. And you'll probably get a laugh based on our short conversation before we begin recording. My number five song is Jailbreak.
There was a friend of mine on murder, and the judge's gavel fell. Jury found him guilty, gave him 16 years in hell.
I know I'm supposed to like this song and it's a classic, but I don't. I really kind of hate it, and I've always hated it. The music, when I was a kid, this music video was on all the time. I think probably because that was one of those videos that they put in, they put a real effort into it because they had a lot to work with lyrically. So it was on all the time, and I hated it. It's not really one of their worst songs, but it's the song that one of the songs I hate the most by them. That's why it's on my list.
Yeah, well, I have the exact same feelings about it in terms of they played it on Headbangers Ball all the time. And probably because it was really, they didn't have much else from the Bon Scott era to play on MTV.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a great song. It's really droning and repetitive. And it was almost on my list, but I was listening to the songs and there's some good parts in Jailbreak. Overall, I really don't like it. I never want to listen to it. I would never want to listen to that song. I got sick of it after hearing it a couple of times, you know? So I agree, it's not one of their best, and it almost made my list. It was, you know, it's one of the last one or two songs that I cut.
It's for me, it's if I'm driving and it comes on the radio, I'm just like, boom, change the channel. Like,
yeah.
Nope, don't want to hear it. Every
no, I don't
time.
Want to hear it either.
I've not heard that song in years until I went through the Make This List. And when we decided to do this, I knew right away, yeah, that fucking song is going to be on my list. And when I listened to it again doing this list, I'm like, yep, still hate it.
Yeah, it's definitely one that came to mind right away.
Freedom! He was chasing spotlights! He made it out with a bullet in his back.
Jailbreak.
All right, my number five is kind of boring. It's from the first album, High Voltage. So it's early. They're still kind of finding their sound. But this is what the kind of song I don't like, which is slow, bluesy, boring. I don't hate it. There's not much of a hook on the chorus. It's just kind of droning and monotonous. It's called Little Lover.
So my number four is from Power Age. It's the Down Payment Blues. Why the hell does this have to be a 6-minute song? It takes over a minute just for the singing to start. Holy crap. Like, if they cut this down to 3 minutes, I still wouldn't like it, but it probably, you know, I wouldn't hate it so much. And frankly, I think that's one of the ones that I flagged that I think you probably are going to have on yours too, because I know you're kind of allergic to, like, blues rock. Yeah, that one. Holy cow. If you want to torture your listeners, you know, play the whole 6-minute version of this song, because it's so slow.
She's looking like a wedding. I got myself a Cadillac, but I can't.
No, actually, I like that one because Bond is hilarious. And also, I mean, that's a great record. That's kind of one of those records where it's just this whole sum of the parts is so great. I just think of it as an album instead of individual songs. You know what I mean? So, So I love that song as a part of that record. It is probably too long, but
you do not love that song.
I don't love the song. No. I don't love it. No.
Yeah.
I do like it though.
Exactly. There's no way. It's a 6-minute blues song. There's no way you like it. Don't lie.
It's entertaining, but it's Bond. You know, Bond Scott. Bond Scott saves it. So. Okay, well, my number four, my list will get more interesting, but my number four is also kind of boring, but I had to pick it because it's called Rocker. It's on the Australian album TNT, and then they put it on the American version of Dirty Deeds, Done Dirt Cheap, which was, I mean, I think that came out after Back in Black, right? That was kind of a cash-in where they're like, oh, we've got these songs that never came out in America. We can cash in on the success of Back in Black just by because it's called AC/DC, you know. So
yeah, right.
they put that out, and but Rocker is it's so generic that they really Chuck Berry should have sued for this song. I mean, it's just a rewrite of a Chuck Berry song. It's the difference is it's more up tempo, it's very fast, which makes it a little more entertaining. But, you know, he's just screaming, I'm a rocker, I'm a roller, over and over against the most generic, basic, you know, early rock and roll backing track, just kind of sped up. But it's just, you know, 3 minutes of the same thing repeated over and over. And so, I mean, what I wrote is, some people might find this fun to listen to, I find it fun to skip over. You know, it's just because it's so generic.
Yeah, I have comments on this one, but we'll hear them later.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right, so moving on to my number three. It's from High Voltage, a song called She's Got Balls. I just find it to be a boring, predictable riff.
Balls.
There's absolutely no hook in the chorus.
Balls.
I think this song never should have made an album.
Balls.
Even as a B-side, I think this song should just disappear from this world.
Balls.
Even the guitar solo sucks. Like, everything about this song is terrible.
I agree. That almost made my list. Actually, I mean, that was on my list at one point. So that's another one that was in the mix for me. Probably the only reason I took it off is because they say balls over and over, and it's kind of funny. And so...
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, not a good song, though. Not one of their best. I definitely agree.
No way.
Thank you.
All right. Well, my number three is a title track called Let There Be Rock. So this is 6 minutes long. It's long, boring, barely any melody, barely a chorus, just Bon yelling, "Let there be rock." To me, this song feels like they had the title for the record, and then they're like, "Oh, let's have a title track," and then they just hammered out a fucking song so they had a title track. And it's not really much of a song, in my opinion. There's some riffs and then Bon yelling. It's just not entertaining enough for me. I don't like the concept. You know, it's stupid. So it's dumb and boring and doesn't really go anywhere. And it's 6 minutes long. So I've never liked this song. And then you know, AC/DC in concert, you're going to get a fucking 12-minute version of this shit. And it's like, that's another thing, that the songs that I hate are the ones that are mediocre and then they end up in the set list and become a jam. And that's going to make me hate it even more, you know?
Interesting. That's a surprise. I'm surprised by that one, yeah. Like, it's certainly not my favorite song by any means. It's like middle of the road for me. I would never put that song anywhere near a list of the worst of, though. But, interesting choice. Interesting. So my number two is one of yours as well, Rocker from Dirty Deeds, My Notes. Holy fuck, this song is annoying. And this is true. I feel anxiety when I listen to it. I think it's because it's too fast.
Yeah.
Like to me, it actually sounds like they recorded it. They recorded it and they sped it up a bit. And then they did the vocals on top. It feels unnaturally fast.
Right.
And that gives me anxiety. I think there's some studio tricks there, like they did with whatever Springsteen and that one hit. His first number one hit there.
Hungry Heart, yeah.
Yeah, Hungry Heart, where they sped it up in post. I think they did something like that going on here. But I have a physical reaction to that song. It's like, I get anxiety. I hate it so much. Yeah, like it's just a horrible, horrible song.
Yeah, maybe they were like, this song is really lame. Maybe if we speed it up, it won't be as lame. And they were right. That's the only thing interesting about it, is how fast it is. Otherwise, you know, it's the most forgettable, generic song you could imagine. So,
oh, yeah.
The only thing that makes it different or interesting in any way is that it's so fast, yeah.
But it's very... I can't think of any other song, really, where I just get anxiety when I hear it because it's like something's wrong. You know what I mean? Like, it just bothers me.
My number two is AC/DC Disco. It's called Love Hungry Man from Highway to Hell. And it's not an AC/DC song. The only thing that makes it sound like AC/DC is the guitar tone and Bon's voice. But otherwise, the structure of the song, everything about the song, what Bond says, a man's got to eat or whatever, that's a, I mean, that's a Bond line. You could you could take this song, put it on anything from Seals and Croft to, I don't know, Hall & Oates. You could put this anywhere, and you wouldn't know it was Hall & Oates covering AC/DC. You know what I mean? It's not, it's just, if they were trying to be commercial on Highway to Hell, then this is the most pathetic example of that. And now, I love Highway to Hell. There's nothing else on Highway to Hell. Well, Beating Around the Bush is another one of those songs where it's riff, vocal that I'm... But that song has some really cool parts, so it kind of redeems itself. But this song just fucks up the flow of a great record and doesn't belong there. It really feels kind of forced and contrived to me, like they were trying to have a single, but really lame.
Yeah.
So, but it really, to me, I mean, you think about the era and you think about what bands were doing, like I Was Made for Loving You and, you know, Miss You by the Stones. And then you look at this song, it's got that Angus guitar tone, but it's got that stupid bass thing that's kind of dance. Yeah, I think it's AC/DC trying to do disco. What do you think? Do you think it's that's what it is, or
I don't know. See, like I disagree with you on the bass. I actually like the bass line, and that's why I didn't put the song on. It's like, yeah, it's a average song for me. Like, I don't like it, but I do like the bass line, and which is not something you say about AC/DC too often. Even though he actually did, you know, some pretty creative things. That, you know, he had his moments for sure, but. For me, the bass line's cool, and I give it a pass for that.
Well, no, I don't have a problem with the bass line, but in an AC/DC song, and the way the arrangement here makes it feel... I mean, would an AC/DC song have that? You know? It's more like... it just doesn't sound... It's not what AC/DC would ever do. I would say almost for sure that bass line is Mutt Lange came up with that.
Yeah, very possible. It's a funny thing though with AC/DC, they get criticized for doing the same album over and over again, but then when they do something different, it ends up on a worst of list.
Well, I think this is different for the wrong reasons, though. It kind of makes me nauseous, actually, to even hear the song. But I think part of it is the lyrics. I mean, just the phrase "love hungry man" and the way it's sung is just gross. I don't like this song.
When Joe gets hungry, he gets mean.
So I grab myself a Swanson Hungry Man dinner, and I feel nice. A big dinner with all the fixings, and look at all that beef. Swanson already put the second helping in.
I'm a meat and potatoes man.
Hey, have a Hungry Man entree. Just meat and potatoes, and plenty of meat. And look at all that beef. Swanson Hungry Man dinners
and entrees, enough to turn a mean man into a pussycat.
My number one. Now, this is a case when you suggested that we do, you know, Bond era AC/DC, I knew instantly what my number one was. There was like, without a doubt, I'm like, yeah, number one's taken care of. I'm going to backfill my list from there. But the Jack from High Voltage. I have always absolutely hated that song. It sucks. It's funny because it's not like a top tier classic by the band, but it's still kind of one of their junior classics. It's like got a shitty chorus. It's like she got the Jack just repeated over and over and over and over. But it's still, it's one of those songs that like you hear on the radio. It's still a thing, and I don't understand because it's absolutely terrible. And I actually have in my notes that I expected that I was going to hear this song on your list because it's an attempt at blues. But unless it's your number one, too, I guess it's not on it. But, man, I absolutely hate the song The Jack.
Well, you'll be very happy to find out that my number one is The Jack.
Which, yes, yeah!
I completely agree.
Yeah! Yeah! I got it!
There's literally 2 minutes at the end of the song where they say she's got the Jack 30 times. It's fucking ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so happy you hate it too. That's fantastic.
It's 6 minutes long. And it's nothing. It's ridiculous. Yeah, it also, you're right. This is like I was saying about the set list, about the songs in the set list. I have only seen AC/DC one time on the Razor's Edge tour. And I remember thinking, fuck off, when they did this song for like 15 fucking minutes. It's like, this, what the fuck? Why do people like this? What is... What do you like about someone saying, she's got the Jack? She's got the Jack, just over and over again. What the fuck is that? It's not funny.
Oh, that's so great.
If it was at least...
No, it's just bad.
Right. If it was at least funny, like a song that I considered for the list is Big Balls, which as a song is not really good, but it's funny and it's clever. Well, it's especially funny to a 12-year-old or whatever I heard it. I mean, me and my friends always thought that song was hilarious. Yeah. But it's not a good it's not a good song. You know, it's stupid, but it's so if the Jack at least had some of the humor of like Big Balls, but it doesn't. It's just, what the fuck is this? So, yeah, it's ugh. And you know when you go see them, they're probably going to do this song. It's like, no.
Oh, yeah.
Please, please, no. And then the crowd loves it. You're looking around. You're like, what the fuck do people like about this? Well, I wrote down, is this song for stoned people? Like, are you supposed to smoke marijuana and then you enjoy this? I don't know how else you would enjoy it.
I don't know.
I mean, you just picture people who are like, so stoned or drunk they can hardly stand up. You picture them going, she's got the Jack, and just kind of nodding their heads along with it in a fucking trance. But I mean, that's about as far as it could go. I don't know who else could like it except, you know, somebody who's almost in a coma. So, you know, they just like the beat. They could just, you know, they're grooving along with it, you know. But yeah, yeah. Yeah, I actually sat there and counted for the 2 minutes. I counted, and it's 28, 29 times they say the actual phrase, she's got the Jack. There's a couple other where Bond like says something slightly different. And then, of course, there's the hook where they go, Jack, 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 Jack. That's the hook.
Right? It's terrible.
Let's
it's
change this
horrendous.
Up. We just said she's got the Jack 7 times. Let's change it up and say Jack, Jack, Jack. Yeah.
Oh, it's brutal.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's funny. What a horrible song.
Well, I really think that, like, I mean, you said it too. I think part of the reason we have the animosity for this is it's considered like a classic.
How's that a thing? I don't understand that.
It's so like a.
We need like your listeners to explain that to us because I don't get it. How did that song become popular and they still play it now? How is that possible?
Right. It's radio set list material. What the fuck? Yeah, I don't get it.
In my mind, it's literally the worst song of that era of the band.
Yeah, it's got so many strikes against it. The length and the repetitiveness of it. And just the fact that it's basically intentionally anti-melodic. Like, it's like the whole point is that it's just droning on and on with barely any semblance of melody. Just, she's got the jack. I mean, they're literally monotone. They're on purpose saying it in monotone. Like,
so is this a case of it's so bad it's good? Is that what happened here? Why people seem to like it?
I don't think so. I think it fits into the AC/DC shtick. It's like, what the hell are they talking about? She's got the jack. The word jack has these connotations. Some people might think it's funny to just keep saying she's got the jack over and over. Is that the first time we ever matched on our number ones? I can't remember.
I think so. Yeah. We always usually match, you know, like match one song in our list or one or two. But I don't think we've ever been so absolutely united on a worst song by a band, because this is definitely like a song that angers us both.
Definitely going to be the low point if you go see them live.
Well, you know, that starts, okay, time to go to the bathroom, get a beer, because it's going to be like 15 minutes long. Now's my chance to go take a break.
Well, yeah, when they start the jack, you could probably run home. I'm going to run home and grab something. I'll be back, and the fucking jack will still be, they'll still be, the whole crowd will be going, she got the jack, and you're like, what the, did I just walk into a cult meeting? What the hell's going on here?
So how are you going to torture your listeners with this song?
I gotta
play the live version.
Yeah, I gotta find a really long live version. And just let it go on and on. maybe edit it to make it even longer. Just 20 minutes. Yeah. 20 minutes of them saying she's got the jack.
It's the only way I heard on the record. High voltage. This one's all about the clap. Now we call it She's Got the Jack. We'd like to give this one to you. Thank you. took her high and I curdled her cream. But how was I to know that she had been there before? She told me she was a virgin. She was number 999 on the clinical list. Her body, but so did everybody. But she gave me her heart, and she gave me her soul, and a great big, worn out, empty hole. She was number 999 on the critical list. And I fell in love with that dirty little bitch. She's on the track. She's on the track. She's on the track. She's on the track. I'll kill her. I woke up one morning, and there it was on the sheet. The clap. Now, I know you're called the clap over here. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to say she's got that. And I want you all to shout out just what it is she's got. In this case, it's the clap. And if you want to know who give it to her, don't look at me. She's got the... Want to hear your voices? She's got the... She's got the... She's got the... Right down there, what are you doing? She's got the... Yeah, you show me. She's got the... No! She's got the... She got that too, huh? She's not. I think what she needs is an Angus Young penicillin. Hey.
I'll be back.